Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of Tisha's Tea Room, the place where conversations conquer cancer. I'm your host, Tisha, and I want to thank you so very much for listening in today. Today's episode, we'll be chatting with two dynamic women of breast cancer and the importance of self-care and caring for our mental health. My first guest, Shantae, is a triple negative metastatic breast cancer patient who was diagnosed in 2019. She's also a patient advocate and recently became a co-host of our Metastatic Breast Cancer Life podcast. Dr. Mercedes Ebanks, my next guest, is the co-founder of the Mecca Group, where she provides mental health services to individuals and families, just to name a few. Dr. Ebanks is also an associate professor in the Department of Psychoeducational Studies with the School of Education at Howard University. Ladies, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for inviting me.
Good. Thank you so much for coming in on the show. I'm going to start with you, Shantae. You've been living with metastatic breast cancer since 2019. Share with us a little bit about your breast cancer journey.
Sure. Thank you for having me on the show. It's always a pleasure to talk about my journey. I actually was diagnosed with early stage triple negative breast cancer in October of 2017. I selected a double mastectomy, did 9 out of 16 rounds of chemotherapy. I didn't need radiation, so they thought, because I didn't have any lymph node involvement. And I had some issues with neuropathy from the chemo, so we stopped it a little early. And my oncologist was like, oh, there's only a 0.2% chance that you'll get a recurrence. So I went, you know, happily, merrily along my way, advocating, celebrating my win, when I started having some issues with burning pain in my chest. I lost the use of my arms, and I had shortness of breath. And so we thought, my plastic surgeon at the time thought maybe because I went back to CrossFit, that I had injured a rib or something like that. And so she ordered an x-ray, but she did also order a CT. And lo and behold, I had a single lesion on my sternum, which is like a breastbone in the middle of our chest. And so I went through all of the testing, further scans and a biopsy, and it was confirmed that I was metastatic triple negative. And so I've been living with that. I've had radiation for the one lesion at the time. But as it spread in December of 2019 to multiple bones and include my liver, I started a clinical trial at Johns Hopkins, because I'm in Baltimore, Maryland, that allows me to get access to immunotherapy along with standard of care. So it's actually been working very well. I've been on it for 8 months, and I am sickler time and stable as close to NED, which means most of the cancer is old, cancer is dead. And I have no new growth, and whatever there is remaining, it is contained. So the chemotherapy is doing its job.
Good.
I'm pretty pleased.
Awesome. Yeah, you are. When I tell you,
I watch you and I follow you on social media, and I know you personally as a friend of mine, and just see you thriving and surviving, it's just like, wow, this girl is doing it. And I'm just so grateful for those clinical trials that are working for you. And that just gives hope to those that are out there that have MBC, that if you are, you know, to get involved with those clinical trials as well, that it can work for them just as much as it's working for you. So, but as a breast cancer patient, Shantae, touch a little bit on, and especially a woman of color, how does the journey impact you mentally? Share with us some things about what you're doing and how did it impact you mentally?
Okay, well, initially my early stage diagnosis came the same year I turned 40. And so at first, you know, I'm a really confident, outgoing person, generally. So I had initially made the immediate decision, like, breasts don't define me. I don't need that to feel like a woman. And so I went ahead and selected the double mastectomy and so forth and so on, with implants, without nipple reconstruction. And then after the surgery, it really started to bother me with my self-confidence and my sexuality, because I started looking in the mirror and then I didn't recognize myself. And So it was like, you know, I took a big hit that way. My confidence took a big hit. I didn't feel attractive. I didn't feel normal, even though I had the implants. You know, it was a lot of things, and I didn't have nipples. So then, you know, it affected me when I looked at myself, and then also when I wanted to be intimate. And so that's when I really realized, like, hey, this really does affect people in a lot of different ways. And so over time, you know, I selected to have the nipple areola tattooing, so that I could feel more normal when I looked at myself, and that helped my confidence a lot. The first time I took the bandages off, I cried in the mirror, because then I felt a little more normal, like a normal woman. And so I thanked my plastic surgeon. But with the MBC diagnosis, it's a little more to take on. It affects me in different ways at different times. Well, 80% of the time, I'll say I pretty much function like I'm normal. Every day I try to go out, you know, I'm active. I go to the gym. I like to go to concerts and all this other stuff, which we can't do during COVID, but I'm a pretty active person with socially. And so I'm pretty much able, with the chemo that I'm on, I'm able to continue my life as regular. However, on those days that I have treatment, or I'm about to have treatment, or after treatment, immediately after treatment, or a symptom pops up, you know, it weighs on my mind heavily. And so I've had anxiety issues, not being able to sleep. Sometimes I do get depressed and so forth and so on, especially because I've lost, in just the 8 months of this year since we've all been quarantined, I've lost four friends to metastatic breast cancer. And so, you know, it brings it fresh home for me that one minute they were doing well, and then literally in a span of 2 weeks, they'll be gone. So that kind of scares me about my own longevity. But then it also scares me because I've opened my heart to a lot of people in this community. And so it makes me worry every time I wake up or check social media, like, who am I going to lose today? So what I've done is I found a therapist, and I'm lucky. I found it through another friend who was a breast cancer survivor. She had early stage, that my therapist is a woman of color, and she's also a breast cancer survivor from early stage. So she really understands the things that I'm going through and helps me with techniques and stuff like that, that helped me through my scans and helped me sleep and, you know, just helped me keep my life a little more normal, and to identify when I'm having those moments where, you know, I need to stop, do a breathing exercise, or just do something that makes me positive, lift my spirits. But it does affect me in different ways at different times, just depending on what it is. But I do seek professional help, and then I do some other things that make me happy, like gardening, working out, listening to music. I don't watch the news anymore because after
it's
the president became the president and then COVID, it makes me
depressed.
That's a
whole other story in itself.
Yeah, that's a whole other story. But
that's a whole
other
story.
But that's like how I practice mental health, good mental health, because I realized I was angry. And when I was watching it and hearing the voices and how it's like, you know, how they report, it kind of slants how you feel or some of the stuff you see. So then I just stopped watching the news. I can read it and I'm a little more detached, so that helps me out. So it just depends on what your struggle is. You have to be able to identify what your triggers are so that you can take care of yourself.
I was just about to say that, yes. It's good that you knew what your triggers were so that when you do feel yourself feeling that anxiety or getting angry or whatever emotion that you're feeling, you can stop it, cap it off at the knees and do something else that'll make you feel better. So that's good. I heard gardening. I heard music. Music for me as an early stage survivor when I was going through treatment, that was my way of getting through as well. Watching funny movies. I'm an old sitcom person, so my favorite show going through was watching In the Heat of the Night. My best friends gave me the DVD collection, so through chemo, that's what got me through. So thank you for sharing that, Shante. One more question dealing with that. So with you being a triple negative metastatic breast cancer thriver and survivor, as we call them. What advice would you give women, and especially women of color that have been either newly diagnosed or are going through the journey now, to help them along their journey so that they won't drive themselves crazy, or make sure that not only that they are taking care of their physical health, but their mental health?
Whether it's early stage or MBC diagnosis, I would give the same advice. I just was talking to some of my other MBC friends that I would give, and it's for almost any cancer diagnosis. It's one is to educate yourself about your diagnosis, what the treatment options are, get a second opinion. Also, know your body and know yourself, like identify the triggers. And yes, it is scary, but it's okay to be afraid, but don't let that fear paralyze you into inactivity and not being able to make decisions, because it is your life that is at risk. And then definitely seek out mental health help, because in our community, it is a stigma. You know, we're not taught to go out and seek therapy. We may, as women, we can go and talk to our girlfriends or someone in our family that can identify, but for African-American men and just African-American in general, we don't like to tell our business, especially not our health business outside of the house, for you to do so, to have a neutral party, third party, who, again, is bound by law, unless you're going to kill somebody or threaten somebody else, to keep your confidences. Right. And because I am one of the strongest people in my family, people often look to me for direction. That kind of stymies me when it's time for me to unburden myself. And so it was great for me to find another person that I could just talk off the top of my head how I really felt and where I was really at, without worrying about, am I burdening this person or am I going to be judged? And so those would be the things I would suggest for anybody at any stage and almost any given diagnosis or cancer diagnosis, is to do those things, to educate yourself, advocate for yourself, and definitely seek mental health help.
Okay. Thank you for that. And that's a great segue into bringing Dr. Ebanks. And Dr. Ebanks, I want to bring you in because you are a mental health care professional. And I wanted to ask you to give your perspective and share your knowledge on the importance of maintaining mental health. Can you share with us a little bit about that?
Before that, I just want to thank you Ms. Bowler, and also Shantae, Randall, for your honesty, your truth, to being so transparent, and to have this conversation. And I think that really starts it. So many women are suffering silently, not only with the illness, but the mental health aspects of it. So I
right.
really congratulate you and thank you, because hearing this can help so many others. So you guys are brave beyond means. You're very welcome. But to talk about mental health, you know, unfortunately, in the Black and Brown community, the comfort of seeking mental health services is really kind of new and up and coming. You know, prior to now, it has really been really been not necessarily supported, not encouraged by, you know, family members, the church, you know, just your friends, you know, in the feeling a lack of trust for those that are uh-huh. providing the services, because unfortunately only a small percentage are Black and Brown providers. So
right.
it's like, okay, you know, who am I going to go to? So what I'm seeing now, though, are the conversations of it being okay, you know, of the need to seek services, and especially for people who are suffering from chronic illnesses, and how much, again, that is part of the recovery process. You know, that helps to recover, you know, having a good state of mind can help with the physical healing. But so therefore the mental healing affects the physical healing and vice versa. You know, Ms. Randall spoke about the self-confidence, and, you know, having moments of anxiety and depression. And is it just related to the experience and of going through of breast cancer? Or is it, you know, some individuals that might have had it even before the diagnosis? So now this is even a much heavier weight on them,
right.
and not knowing how to get out of it. So it's learning about life, reality of life or remission. After you make the decision to have the surgery, having to deal with and cope with, you know, life thereafter.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that. And you touched, and so did Shantae, both of you touched on, you know, the stigma that comes along with getting mental health services and seeking therapy, and especially in the African American community. How can we get more people of color to overcome that stigma and make that a priority?
Again, I think it's the conversations. It's Absolutely. Women who are brave like yourself talking about it, encouraging, you know, a friend or a loved one, and not only, you know, the victim of, you know, of this, you know, of the illness, but also the family members, you know, of the and that are also experiencing and going through the experience with the individual. I've worked with children that their mother has had breast cancer, and speaking to them about, you know, their fears, and, you know, how they can help. You know, if someone is married or has a spouse or a partner, you know, helping the couple to continue to engage. You know, if someone is single, helping them to understand how are they going to feel about dating again, how it's going to affect their self-confidence. You know, when is it okay to start dating again? When should I tell someone that, you know, I've had reconstructive surgery? Should I tell them? You know, it's all of these questions, and And what a therapist can do is not give you the answers, but really help to guide you to find the right answer for you, because it's not a formula. The assistance that Ms. Randall is seeking and getting from her therapist may be very different from what they tell you, Ms. Boulder, and I always call her Ms. Boulder.
Right.
But it might be different because of where you are. So it's a very unique process, and it has to be right for you. You know, somebody, if you're going through a 10-step program, let's say, not everybody's going to start, you know, stay at step one for the same amount of weeks. So that is
right.
Mental health therapist can help you is with the individual specific needs. But there are groups too, and that some people need group therapy because they need to feel that support from other people. So again, finding services that match you and your personality.
That's totally true because when I went through my second diagnosis, second time around, my friends were just devastated, and they were like, what can we do to help you? And I had to actually tell them, well, your anxiety makes my anxiety higher, so please go to, I'm lucky that here where I live, we have a caregiver support group, so I gave them the information. It was all in person. Like, you can go to this caregiver support group to find out things that I need, how to care for me, but also how to lessen your stress and deal with your stress. And, you know, I was just fortunate that the people in my life loved me enough or were willing to go and take care of those things, because it does affect. I'm not an island by myself. It affects everyone around me, my daughter, my parents, my sisters, you know, and my friends that I'm close with. And so, you know, there are companion groups, not just for the patient, but also for the caregivers and the family members, because, yeah, we all need to look at it as a whole and take care of ourselves. So that's very accurate information.
Absolutely. They need the much as we do, because they are our caregivers. They are in our circle. So whatever they're feeling, like you said, Shante, whatever they're feeling, we can feel it. And we got to make sure that we are in the right space and the right frame of mind so that we can deal with and beat this disease so that, you know, we can move forward and move on to our healthier lives. So thank you for that. I know for me, when I was going through my journey, group therapy was good for me. And finding those resources that I needed to help me to get through was very important. Unfortunately, during my journey, there weren't a lot of resources that dealt with, that were for people that looked like me, women of people of color. But now we're seeing more and more of these online resources that are coming about, which I am so excited about. Dr. Ebanks, just one more question regarding that. When someone is getting ready to seek out services, how would go about trying to find a therapist, and how would they know what would be a good match? What would be a good match for them, and so forth?
I always say interview the therapist, because you are choosing this person. You are giving your time to with this person. So I regarding how to find a therapist, there are a lot of resources, first through your insurance company, if a person is comfortable with going through their insurance company, first and foremost. You can call them. There should be listings online. And then secondly, is also a resource, Psychology Today. And then you could specify the race that you're looking for, where your office would be located, you know, what type of theoretical orientation do they have in terms of their approach of using therapy? Also, as well as what their experience has been. So when you call, you can ask them, you know, have you worked with clients that have had breast cancer? You know, do you work with family members as well? So ask them the important questions to you that you may have. And then,
right.
again, if you meet and after, and I would say give it some time, the first two or three sessions, because the first session is kind of getting to know you and getting and setting up your goals, you know. But if you're not feeling, you know, that gut feeling and you're not comfortable with that person, then try another therapist, you know, because, again, it has to match. And then there
right.
are so many other approaches rather than talk therapy. There are therapists that use some holistic, you know, approaches, meditation, yoga as well. And right now during COVID, a lot of therapists are providing services virtually. So it doesn't have to be an interruption. It doesn't have to be, well, come into the office and, you know, sit on the couch. It is no longer that. It is, you know, virtually. So, again, what works best for the individual person? And then, again, you know, we're at the Mega Group. If we can't fit your needs, then we have a referral listing, and we could we refer many clients on every therapist. You know, so
right.
we're a part of a listserv. We know other professionals in the area, and we help you through the process.
Thank you so much for that. Shante, any last words?
There is an online community that I just learned about called Therapy for Black Girls as well.
Yes.
They do have a
yes.
list of therapists of color. And so that is also helpful. And even if you don't find someone that you vibe with the first time, keep trying,
right.
keep looking. It's a personal fit. If you don't feel comfortable
yes.
or you feel judged or what have you, you know, don't give up after the first time. Say,
mm-hmm.
oh, no, everybody's like that. No, you need to find, it's custom fitted. You have to keep trying because it's worth it. You will definitely feel lighter, and I'm able to even deal with the grief better, more constructively with the things that I'm learning. So I definitely implore people to continue to try, even if at the first time it doesn't seem like it's a great fit. And even just talking to some of your friends, just to have somebody to listen to if you don't have insurance, someone, you know, that could be a neutral party or someone you trust and confide or journal in, that can definitely help with your mental health, just getting it off your chest to express it in any way, form, or fashion that you can, whether you listen to your voice notes or you read your journal, you go back, you can see your growth and you can see the pattern of what you struggle with. But the mental health is definitely real, especially with COVID, because we are kind of isolated from one another and not able to do a lot of things. So
right.
that's the one thing that I would definitely.
Thank you.
Yes.
So
I certainly concur with that.
Absolutely. And I ditto everything that has been said. This has been such a wonderful and important conversation thus far that I have had on this show, and it was a conversation that definitely needed to be had. I want to thank both of you from the bottom of my heart for taking the time to come out and just chat with me. Dr. Ebanks, how can we follow you on social media? How can we reach out to you? And for those that are listening, how could they reach you?
So the Mecca Group has a Facebook page, the Mecca Group and Facebook, and then also on Instagram, it's the Mecca Group, as well as on LinkedIn.
Thank you. And Shante, how can we follow you on social media?
I'm a little bit everywhere. On Twitter, I'm Shante3, that's Shante with the C. On Facebook, it's Shante Randall. And on Instagram, it's Tay Gore SNBC Life.
but you all have heard it. I want to thank you both once again for coming on the show and giving us this wonderful information, testimony of how we can take care of our mental health. And for those that are battling disease, those that are caregivers, how we can take our mental health and make this a priority. I hope that you got some great takeaways from this, because I know that I did. Until next time, this is your host, Tisha of Tisha's Tea Room, the place where conversations conquer cancer, signing off, wishing everyone to stay well and be safe. Thank you again, and everyone have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday. Bye-bye.
Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday. Fun Sunday.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.